Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 39 through 45. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. A remarkable moment that took place there. The babe, of course, being John the Baptizer. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And let's bow our heads together tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening that we can gather around your word once again. Father, I thank you that even through these imperfect vessels, Lord, you can provide a good work, an eternal work. Father, our physical limitations do not limit you, Father. You can overrule in these things, and I ask that you would help me, Father, to bring the word in the strength that you would have me to, and Lord, that you'd strengthen these dear ones, Lord, to receive it, regardless of how it sounds, Lord, knowing that it is indeed the word of God, and it can bless and strengthen and enable. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be together tonight. Be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we consider what I consider to be a real example of faith. Oftentimes I call these ones heroes of faith, and I would be lying if I said that Elizabeth was not one of my heroes of faith. I actually brought her out and sent her a lesson on her and her relationship with Mary, much like this one, some time ago. But this is taking it in a rather specific direction. I appreciate this woman, Elizabeth, and the testimony that she's presented as being only mentioned in the first chapter of Luke, nowhere else in Scripture. We don't know much more outside of that, but we know enough of her to recognize some very important things. Well, let's begin with verse 5 here, where it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." So that tells us a lot about this dear woman. Naturally speaking, she was an older woman, we understand. Much like Sarah was an older woman and was given the same provision as Elizabeth was, both of them barren, but made with child. She descended from a priestly line, we read there, of the daughters of Aaron. She was married to a priest, and once again, she was initially barren. Naturally speaking, that's enough to know about her to start shaping her story. Spiritually speaking, we see that she was righteous before God and blameless. What more do you need to know about this woman to, well, not determine that you would be her friend if she was indeed alive today? As it turns out, the Lord worked on her both physically and spiritually. And I imagine you know the story, but it says in verse 24 there, "Now after those days, Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" Elizabeth was blessed with a child. Again, John the Baptizer. And we know him to be the herald of the Christ to come. Zacharias was given a word from the Lord to understand that that one was going to be that voice crying in the wilderness that you read about in Isaiah. And Elizabeth was going to be, well, his mother. Again, we're kind of limited in our record about Elizabeth, so I can't answer a lot of questions that might pop up naturally speaking. How long Elizabeth lived after John was born? How much of his wilderness existence was she aware of? How much of his ministry was she made privy to? Was she alive when his head was removed from him later on? What did she know of his life? I'm not sure. I do believe that if she was alive, as we look at this testimony that she was, if she maintained this walk of faith, I think we could, well, safely say that she would have approached those things with much the same faith that we see represented there, well, in Luke chapter 1, because we see what kind of a woman she was. What we do know is how she, well, how she related with this woman, Mary. Her younger relative was Mary. Some say cousin, some have said that it was an aunt. It says she was a relative. Mary, that one who is the mother of Jesus, of course, she was given to be with child sometime around Elizabeth's 6th month. We can read in John 1, verse 36. I'm not going to go there. But I'd like to just point out one specific thought about Elizabeth's dealings with Mary and dealing with her situation specifically. You consider who Mary was and correlate her with who Elizabeth was, Mary being a young woman, much younger, it seems, than Elizabeth. Mary being an unmarried young woman at the time. Mary being a young woman with no barrenness issues, clearly. At least she wasn't really given time to be barren, but she was made with child as a young woman. A young woman with quite limited lifetime experience, you might say, especially as it compares to Elizabeth. And the reason why I bring up these differences between herself and Elizabeth is because when we have such differences there, when you consider who Elizabeth was on a natural level, an older woman, had been barren all her life, and having had the emotions that might have been associated with that. She obviously said, well, that the reproach among my people would be is now removed now that she had a child on its way. There might have been some reproach that she felt throughout the course of her long life. And here was Mary, young, not having the life experience, not having met with that reproach, perhaps. And here she was with child. Saints, you understand that resentment is a real thing, even among people of God. Resentment can crop up where you would least expect it. It can certainly crop up right where you would expect it, where you would most expect it. When you look at another's life in comparison to yours, and they simply don't deal with the same things that you do, resentment can crop up. It's a real thing. And it can be a real problem. It can pop up in the kindest of hearts. It can pop up in the kind inside of the kindest of people. And it can certainly pop up against the kindest of people as well. And so as I look at Elizabeth here and I consider who she was, consider how she dealt with Mary, she could have easily cried foul on that situation, as oftentimes we do. How come it came so easy for her? Now again, we understand that she understood, we'll read here in just a moment, what she understood about Mary. But she could have said, how come it came so easy? How come the Lord chose her as well as choosing me? How come she didn't have to deal with what I did? How come the reproach didn't come upon her for decade after decade after decade? She's going to carry Messiah? Her, she doesn't have the life experience that I have. Am I not qualified? Am I not of the lines of the priests? Am I not married to a priest? Have I not walked righteously and blamelessly? All of these things, and again, I'm not speculating, this is exactly what human nature would prompt us to think oftentimes. That way of thinking can take our resentment level. It can build it up against somebody to whom it is not due. And if you want to just get a little bit heady about it, that kind of resentment, if you're a child of God and you recognize that, then that can start twisting, and when you recognize your mind is going in the wrong place, then you can start resenting yourself, and that presents its own problems. When you're dealing in self-condemnation and self-hatred and all of these things, when you realize, look who I am, I'm not worthy, I'm not righteous, I'm not blameless, and so on and so forth. And then ultimately that leads to self-loathing, self-condemnation. It can even lead to resentment towards God, and then it just spirals and spirals from there. All I'm saying, saints, is that resentment is human. It's sometimes easier for some to find, more difficult for some to get rid of, but it's human. It's human nature, and it tends to happen. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 19, God says, leave no room for that. There's no room for resentment in your heart or other such things. We look back into the days of the law in Leviticus. In Leviticus 19, he says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor when there's godly direction, godly need to do so. Yeah. And not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. If you look into that term, bearing any grudge against, what that means literally is to embrace and to nourish and to cherish your anger. Anger feels good sometimes. Resentment feels good sometimes, if you're getting right down to it. It feels good to resent sometimes to the flesh. He says, don't do it. You shall not bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Signed, God, I am the Lord. No matter how justified we might think we are, and certainly not when it's God's work that you're resenting. It must not be so, and it certainly was. It was God's work that was taking place in Mary. Any resentment on Elizabeth's part toward her would have been absolutely ungodly, unjustified, unrighteous, all of those things. Which is why I love Elizabeth, because she harbored none of those things. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 through 45, if she ever did deal with these things, she gave them to the Lord, and he dealt with them in her heart. Because again, Mary visited her at 6 months in, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did she say to her? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she goes on to tell her what took place. But she counted herself blessed that she would be in the presence of, well, specifically, her Lord. The mother of her Lord was there before her. She didn't honor Mary as being anything more than she was, blessed by God. And she put away any resentment, any kind of flesh that might have taken place there. Well, the Lord dealt with it, and I appreciate that. Saints, no matter how human a response might be, no matter how human our feelings might be, no matter how natural it might be to feel a certain way, if it's an ungodly feeling, we can't welcome it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Make no provision. Don't give it leeway. I found a note my grandpa Jimmy wrote one time. It was in a Bible that I have of his, and he wrote, "The flesh has no jurisdiction over the will of God." Short little thought, but as I think about that, that's a powerful thought. The flesh has no jurisdiction over the will of God. The will of God is supreme. And the flesh doesn't have any right to exercise any authority. May we never offer any authority to the flesh over our heart's response to the will of God. And we can mimic and take for an example this dear woman, Elizabeth, and who she was in her righteous, blameless, resentless manner towards the mother of our Lord. I'm grateful for her example.